Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad, the Jubilee special, where we've got our, we're waving our flags, look at your speaker, we're waving our flags, you can see it. I'm Eric Wiltshire, Lee Banks is over in the UK, Mark Gander is in Paris, so we've got an EU celebration for the Queen's Jubilee this particular weekend, and I've got to do this, I'm sorry lads, I'm really sorry about this.
Go on then.
I've got a new telephone.
Oh, don't you dare!
What did you get? Not a Samsung 3?
No.
Don't encourage
it! Oh, good. I haven't got mine yet, and I've ordered it.
No, I got an HTC One X.
Oh, right.
Well, oh, for God's sake, all he's done all week is flash his stinking telephone at me on Skype!
What was you saying, Mark?
Showing me, making me jealous!
Huh? Mark, what did you say?
I said it sounds like quite a nice telephone, but I decided to go for the Samsung. Because it's got a larger
telephone.
Screen
it's
and more powerful
big girl.
And better.
No, it works incredibly well.
Yes.
It can talk to my server at home.
Yes. Talk to my server. It makes my car drive. It does all sorts. Oh, you know, I can be in the Gentleman's Ablution and I can turn my computer on and talk to Martina and talk to everybody across the world. Oh, look, Lee, look at that on the screen. Shut up and have your telephone.
Actually, it has got a car thing on it as well, yeah.
Oh, my God's sake.
When you walk up to the car, it goes into car mode straight away. And the satellite navigation button comes up.
Oh, and it drives the car for him. It does everything. Anything. He's that old now.
Actually,
it even does sort of...
Your new bicycle computer.
Have you? Nice. Actually, Lee, you're going to be really hacked off with this. Because you know I've got a rather large collection of lorries.
Rather large collection of stomachs.
No, large collection of...
Eddie Stobart.
Eddie Stobart type things, yes. Model ones.
I have a rather large collection of real ones outside my house.
There's over 100 in a cabinet, which I've collected over many years.
And he has, ladies and gentlemen. I've had to actually sit on the floor and play with them with him.
Yeah. And one of them is actually a Bluetooth radio-controlled lorry, or as the Slovaks call them, camions, or Americans call them trucks. And yes, Lee, I can drive my Bluetooth lorry with my mobile phone.
No, really?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
How puerilely, sadly, awfully, terribly, boringly, outrageously, ridiculous.
But Lee, what? Lee...
I like my Samsung that you can't even do a reply call on it.
Lee,
what
happened when I spoke these words to my phone this morning? I said to it, Lee G. Banks. And what happened?
He said...
He said, no, he doesn't. Not very often. He's just when nobody's looking.
It said, handsome.
No, it brought him up on the Google search.
Yeah, he can talk to his phone, ladies.
Yeah, I've got one of those. It's called Dragon on my phone.
What a fantastic breakthrough that is. Eric can actually talk to his phone.
Yeah, it's nice. It's really good. It's really
I've
good.
Been doing that with telephones for 30 years since I was two.
What, having a phone that you can talk to?
Anyway, moving along to some more news. I have to say, I put this little item in just for Mark and Lee.
Blanket. Just blanket. Don't say a word.
The Royal Academy of Music director, with a small d, has been sentenced to fraud. 20 months, actually, in prison.
Why did you have to say it had a small d?
Well, because a proper big D is for a really director.
No, it isn't. That's a complete fallacy of people who don't understand the workings of the English language. A D, a big D, is because somebody doesn't know when they should be using a big D or a little D. That is the right correct. That could mean anything.
I hate the phrase director for manager. Because that's what they are. They're not a director of a board.
They might be a director because they direct.
Anyway, the former finance director of, get this, the Loveys.
I can shut up all the time completely. You can join in barracking him. Just don't let him get on this story.
The Royal Academy of Music. I say again, the Royal Academy of Music. She has been sentenced to 20 months in prison after defrauding, where all you lot like to put your money, £236,000 from the Royal Academy of Music. How wonderful are all these arty people?
Well, of course, she may not be an arty person. I mean, she's a finance director.
Yes, shut up now.
Oh, sorry.
Not
well,
only
okay,
that.
Well, I've broken the silence. I do beg your pardon. But it doesn't mean that she's arty. It means she's his finance director.
All right.
I mean, how silly. What a silly woman. And she's wrecked her life. It was to enhance her pension. She's wrecked her pension. She's wrecked her reputation. And, you know, she's going to do her stretch. Say hello to the rest of you know who in there.
Yes, exactly. But then she also got some freebie accommodation worth £30,000 for her son. And Judge Deborah Taylor said to her, "You abused your position to enrich yourself and benefit your family by three means."
And I think she's absolutely right. Can I just say what I think is the saddest part of this story? And it is not a reflection on the artistic community of what me and Mark are members of.
Right.
Right. It is a reflection on the British judiciary.
Why?
That this woman has done what she's done, been found guilty of it, and the judge says to her, it's never pleasant to sentence someone of your obvious quality and ability. She's a thief! She's a con woman!
Yeah.
She's a crime artist, and the judge, just because she doesn't live in a council house in a
well, that's right. I think what the judge really meant to say there was it's always it's always a disappointment to sentence anybody from the same social class as me.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you know, just fallen from grace.
Just a minute. You
come from
Lee,
the council house. Manchester, let me say you're a recidivist. You're an alcoholic.
Lee.
You will go down for...
Right, that's got rid of him. Anyway, Lee, what you've got to remember is most people in the UK contributed a little bit probably to her higher education.
What, the judges?
No, the finance person at the academy.
Yeah, it's the same for everybody. It's the same for Coulson and Brooks and all the rest of them. I'm going to say I don't really know why for an international program this really is an item because it's it's just some silly woman.
Well, no, I think it's because I think it does say, look, not everybody in the arts is squeaky clean. That's it. End of. Let's move on to some Kit Kats because that's more fun.
managed to spoil that for him, Mark.
Torbay hospital staff are up in arms. Gentlemen, would you be happy after winning an award for your boss to give you a Kit Kat?
I think this is a despicable act on the sides of the people who got the Kit Kats to complain about it. Well, their bosses, they got a meal. That's all they got. These people got the chance to take a break, have a Kit Kat.
Oh. Yeah.
And they were told to take a break, and they didn't. And they didn't realise. They misinterpreted the whole fantastic gesture. This is an amazing gesture from management who had their employees grafting so hard that the entire hospital got an award. And they were applauded and glorified and what have you. What do? They gave all of their staff a biscuit. It might as well have been a dog biscuit or a pig biscuit to reflect the snouts in troughs again.
They should be grovelling and saying sorry for having a go at their bosses.
Well, I think Kit Kat are doing very well out of this. Let's move on to something serious for a second.
Actually, it's the same thing. Are we talking about the IMF boss, Christine?
Yes, who's Christine somebody else Lagarde.
Yeah, Christine Lagarde.
Oh, you just jump in and take it over then, Mark.
Oh, you big fun, right.
Carry on, Mark.
Well, here we've got another person in this, very, very sort of privileged, very important position who's meant to be laying down examples for everybody. She's going around to everybody lecturing Greece about the importance of not dodging taxes and so forth. And then suddenly it's disclosed that she's getting 350,000 quid a year, which I have to say is not an awful lot for what she does, plus a perks package. She gets it tax-free because she has a global role. Does that mean everybody in the world who has a global role pays no tax? Is there sort of some virtual haven?
We've got a global role.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you try that one on.
And I have to say, we have to admit this up front, we don't pay tax on it.
That's ridiculous.
He's getting just... money out of it. Oi, oi.
Exactly, exactly.
Not even a kick, not even a biscuit.
Not even a cat we get. No. Nothing, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Was it Kit Kat or Kitty Cat? I think it was Kitty
Cat. Probably Kitty Cat.
Yeah. They all got a tub of Kitty Cat.
What I don't understand, yeah. She's, Mark, knowing the French, as you yeah. do, because yeah. she's French, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
Right. She I would have thought... yeah, I'd have thought the French would have tagged onto this and got a chunk of her money.
Well, I really don't know, but I mean, I can tell you that when you get up to that level in the French establishment and French business, everybody's got their snouts in some kind of trough, whether they're being protected from their sexual peccadilloes, as her, it appears that her predecessor has
she
been.
She hasn't got sexual peccadilloes, she's just got loads of money.
Well, that's right. Well, you know, you can have one or the other, but the fact is see, that, yeah. you know, everybody's getting a deal. Everybody's getting a deal. You know, even the broken down, failing French press is getting huge subsidies. Only about 4 years ago, the French Parliament voted something like 285,000 euros simply to subsidise the French press. French journalists get tax reductions. They get free travel on all railways, even if it's on holiday. Everybody's at it here.
At it across the world. Don't forget that Tony Blair travelled the world earning more money than this and not paying tax for exactly the same reason.
Is that right?
Are you sure about that, Lee?
Yeah, why?
So he doesn't pay any tax?
I'm not saying he doesn't now. I'm saying that when he had his role, his global role as a peacekeeping envoy, that's what he was in exactly the same position.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know what his situation is now.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Anyway, the UK is the world's safest haven, says Lee.
I'm not talking to you now.
Come on.
Well, no, it just goes back to what I was saying last week where we all had a go at me again, right? I was saying that actually, while we're all complaining in Britain about this grand recession, that actually the British economy should be cashing in on the value of the pound. And guess what's happened this week? All of a sudden, because Lee G. Banks said so, the investors are coming to Britain because it's a safe haven for investments because it is so strong compared to the
So US. What you're basically
Thank
saying...
Thank you very much. I rest my case.
So basically what you're saying is that the Chancellor George Osborne's got it right, the government's right, or the coalition government, which is meant that...
For the sake of this argument, yes.
Ooh! Mark, did you hear that?
Well, yes, but, you know, I think...
It doesn't mean I'll be arguing that way.
I mean, he's quite right. I mean, the pound is relatively strong, but it's not because we're doing things so right. It's because Europe in the Eurozone is failing so badly. So, actually, this just happens to be the safest, port in the storm, but it's not particularly great at all. And, of course, the reverse of this also is that the cost of exporting, the cost of buying our imports in the Eurozone is really going to go up. So all our manufacturers, all our suppliers who have to export services into the Eurozone and anywhere else are really going to pay a premium for it, and life could get very, very tough. Yeah. So, yes, we're getting investment. Let's hope somebody's making money out of it.
Isn't
it's also going to be very tough for some
benefit.
Businesses.
Let me just say this. I want to read you something, right, that I got this week. It's only seven sentences, but it is all about how the it's all about how the economy works, right? And how the Greece is actually trying to save itself. And I think this is quite phenomenal, right? You've got to imagine, right, a hotel in a village in Greece, right? And a rich German tourist comes in and says he wants to have a room there. He says, I'll leave a €100 bill on the desk, right, while I go and inspect the rooms. That's what he does. He goes upstairs to inspect the rooms. The owner of the hotel then picks up the $100, runs off down the street and uses it to pay the butcher. Pay the debt he owes the butcher. The butcher then takes it and pays off the pig farmer. The pig farmer then pays off the feed and the fuel merchant. Mm-hmm. The farmer's cooperative bloke then goes and pays his bill at the taverna. The taverna bloke then goes and pays the local prostitute, who comes back to the hotel and gives the €100 back to the hotelier for the money she owes him on the room she's been using. The German tourist comes back downstairs, picks up the €100 note, says, I don't like these rooms, puts it in his pocket and goes home. He's lost nothing. Everybody's debts have been paid off in Greece and everybody's happy. That's the way it should work.
Hang on. Right. You're doing my head in. There's got to be something wrong here somewhere, but I can't see it.
How the heck did we get from government bonds to that? Serious thing this week, and something I want to bring up, is this idiot woman in the UK who was filmed, and actually I believe it went onto YouTube as well, Jacqueline Woodhouse. She's been jailed for 21 weeks. Oh dear, what a shame. Because she was hurling racist abuse at fellow passengers on the Underground, and she actually sort of complained about Africans coming over. She said in one area that she was living in the United Nations, da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da. Now, I have to say that if you want to encourage and live in a community like Great Britain, which is a cosmopolitan community, then if you want to stay there, that's what you have to have. So why would...
Well, tolerance, or you've got to accept racist comments?
No, you've got to accept tolerance.
Yes. Tolerance, yeah.
You know, because, I mean, she's obviously bleating about the fact that... because she went to court and... but the fact is, I can't get my head round why she was blurting this all out, allegedly because she was drunk. So wouldn't she have said it quietly to everybody else when she was sober? That's point one. And number two, if you live in Great Britain, Great Britain is a cosmopolitan community. Therefore, everything is acceptable in England, surely.
Well, it should be. And for somebody to... I suppose you've got to say that this is a view that is held and has been held for decades in Britain. We are a racist nation. We're one of the most racist nations in the world, really.
I disagree.
And this kind of racism that comes out is absolutely shameful. Of course we're a racist nation. We're up there with America. We're up there with... even with France, what a racist nation that is.
Sorry, we're not. Well, France is a particularly racist nation, and it's particularly
Nazi.
Yeah, that's
right, and we're up there with it.
The difference between, as far as I can see, the difference between England and France is that in England, racism is something that most decent people are ashamed about, and it's something that's associated with working class and lack of education. In France, it is middle class, and the people talk about it openly, and I can tell you, I'm sick to death of going to things like dinner parties and having lawyers and judges simply announced over the dinner table, well, the problem around here is the black people bringing the prices down. I can tell you, if somebody said that at my dinner table in London, I think there would be a silence and people would make their excuses and leave.
I think you're absolutely wrong. I think it's wrong for you to actually make it a class thing. In Britain, the middle classes are just as racist as anybody else. We are a racist nation. Posh people in Britain are racist. The upper crust are racist. The upper crust... they're the worst racists that we have. This is endemic in our society. And what's happened to this woman should have been done more. What did she get? 21 weeks?
Exactly.
That's all she got. She should have had the key thrown away on her to actually lambast people for the kind in the way that she did. It was despicable and shameful. And the bloke who filmed it and put it on YouTube, at first, I didn't admire him at all for doing it. But then, actually, I started to think, well, yeah, she needed to be shown up. And how else were we going to capture somebody who was spouting, drunkenly or not, these kind of views to people who were going about their day-to-day business?
Exactly. Well, the district judge, Michael Snow, said, anyone viewing it would feel a deep sense of shame that our citizens could be subject to such behaviour. Yeah, I'm sorry. May, as a consequent, believe that it secretly represents the views of other white people. And that's the danger.
That is the danger. And
absolutely,
that's why, for instance, in France, it's open and they really believe. I mean, people make those kind of comments to me as if I'm actually interested and happy to have those kind of discussions with people.
Absolutely.
And in fact, I just feel angry about it.
Yes, exactly.
And do you point that out to them, Mark? Do you say?
Well, I didn't used to, and now I have done. And I can tell you that my partner is embarrassed at my reactions and I've stopped being invited to lots of these things. I'm very pleased to say.
I actually ask people straight out, and you should do, what makes you think that I am a racist?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And I have, again, I would like to point out that if you're thinking of emigrating to Slovakia, to integrate into Slovakia, is very, very simple. They will warm to you like there's no tomorrow. But I have to have a Slovak ID card. And if I want to be here more than 6 months, I have to have one. And that's the rules of the country. And everybody who's Slovak...
That doesn't stop racism.
No, but if you... Let me finish, Lee. What happens is, once you've done that, people really warm to you because you're part of the community. So the Slovaks warm to you immensely. And equally, I think this woman should warm to those that are there rather than pillorying them. And I just don't understand why there's such a different culture or mindset between those that come into Slovakia. If you want to be part of the community, the Slovak community gets really behind you and it really helps you out. Whereas in England, you've got an idiot like this who says, oh, you've come into my country, now I don't like you.
I wonder what Jacqueline Woodhouse is going to say to the non-white people that she meets in the slammer. She's going to have a bit of answering to do.
I would have thought so as well. Ugly cabinet dispute there is in Kensington.
I thought this was about the government.
not at all. Apparently BT, British Telecom, has halted plans to roll out high-speed broadband to one of the richest places in the UK, Kensington and Chelsea. And the reason being is the people there don't like ugly cabinets.
Well, how are you? They have pure racism and in the high echelons of Britain. They're even prejudiced against ugly cabinets.
Well, I tell you, it is, because I can tell you what, if BT were moving this cabinet into Tottenham or Bradford or somewhere, I can imagine that nobody would be able to do a damn thing about it. But because it's gone into la-di-da Kensington and la-di-da Chelsea, la-di-da Borough Council, you know, there you have to be very careful. You have to mind your P's and Q's, because if you don't, then your betters can sort you out.
But there's a good opposition argument here, gentlemen. Really good one. When the local community who blocked the plans for these cabinets complained they can't have fast broadband, you do a French salute to them. Simple as that. Because if they don't want the cabinets, they can't have good broadband. Simple.
Yeah. I think that's the most disingenuous quote of any company you could get as well.
What?
We will therefore refocus our engineers' efforts in other areas where planning authorities have taken a positive approach.
Absolutely right.
What a pompous thing to say.
I think it is pompous. And I think actually that these companies that start putting things in our streets have a duty to consult. And I think they ought to consult with the neighbourhood. So on one hand, yes, it is very, very sort of class-ridden, and it's just because in Chelsea, a borough council, it is who they are. They're able to do something about it. But actually, I think BT have got a responsibility to take into consideration the character and the requirements and the wishes of the local community everywhere.
I agree with that, Mark. But if they then turn around and say, I'm complaining about BT because I can't have fast broadband, then that's got to be their problem.
Yes, but there is a simple answer to this.
What?
BT, go away and make attractive cabinets. Don't make ugly ones.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, I'm not going to win that one. But anyway, I think they should go back to the old days of British Telecom when it was the GPO, and the GPO had flying rights in those years.
And party lines.
No, they had flying rights.
Party lines, that's right.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, my mum used to tell me to go round the block to go and tell Mrs. Burns to put her phone down because she'd left it off the hook and we couldn't make a call.
Now, would you do this? Because I've got to be honest and say there's not a ghost in hell chance of me doing it. Volvo is currently demonstrating its new auto drive car system in Spain. And basically, it's a convoy of vehicles that self-drive via wireless connections from the lorry driver in the front. So picture this, you've got two lorries, then you've got a handful of cars, and the lorry driver at the front is driving all the vehicles, including the second lorry and four cars, from what he's seeing at the front.
Scary.
And what Volvo said was, this is Volvo, the safe car company, said drivers can now work on their laptops, read a book, sit back and enjoy a relaxed lunch while driving.
Well, what if you didn't want to go where the lorry's going?
Too bad, you're following a Stobart lorry, that's it.
End of me.
So you end up on a TIR down to Turkey.
So anyway, if you're in Spain and you see people like asleep at the wheel, it's not Michael Knight and Knight Rider, it's actually Volvo. Would you ever do that, guys?
I'd do it, yeah. I think it'd be really good. I think it'd be
really
exciting.
Would you be allowed to have a drink on the way?
Yeah, you get drunk, have a party, go to sleep, do gentlemen and ladies and everything, yeah, while the lorry drivers take you where you want to go. What's the point of it?
Dear.
It's absolutely pointless and stupid.
Right, we'll touch on this one very quickly and that'll be it.
No.
Windows 8's coming out soon. There's a consumer download release available now of Windows 8, which you can get from Microsoft. That's enough of that one. An MP has complained to the BBC and the Equalities and Human Rights Commission over a joke about the Cornish people on Have I Got News For You.
Can we tell them what the joke is?
Because no.
This is absurd. Why not?
No.
You must be able to tell this joke because it's pointless telling the story. Here's the joke, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. Here we go.
Is this racist against Cornish people?
This is against Cornish people. Like, it's like it could be against a Cornish pasty, yeah. Right? In the show, guest host William Shatner asked a question about the Olympic torch relay. Said, what caused confusion in Truro? Panelist Andy Hamilton said, well, they're Cornish, aren't they? They'll always be confused in Truro.
Was that a joke?
Well,
is that why they're offended?
Yeah, that's why they're offended. That's why they've actually, the Human Rights Commission and have actually got involved in this. They need taking to task for getting involved instead of saying to whoever it was to complain, grow up and go away. How can that be offensive? They're always being used in Truro. Well, they won't. You know why? Because they're all thick. That's why. Take us to the thing now, yeah. Or me.
I always thought the British were supposed to be able to laugh at themselves.
No, we just laugh at Irish people and Polish people and things like that.
Really,
yeah,
out of
can I say this complaint was made by Dan Rogerson, who's a Liberal Democrat MP. We know that Liberal Democrats are not in a very sort of good position as far as next election results. What was his majority? I wonder whether he's simply really.
I don't know, but boys and girls, we got to go. We will finish with our special tribute and fly past to Her Majesty the Queen on this special Jubilee weekend. Have a great week till next week. Bye bye.